This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you that you've raised your son to new life and that he is still alive today. He still speaks to us. He still gives us life. So Lord, we come to you this morning and we open ourselves to receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a reminder, there's also a baptism today after the service. Those who want to be baptized. Yesterday I also ministered in Grabouw and there's 15 people coming down from there to be baptized also at the same time. So if God has been speaking to you about baptism and you would like to be baptized, today is probably the best day. The day in which Jesus was raised. Baptism is a death, it's a burial, but it's also a resurrection. As we come out of the water, our old man dies under it, but our new man raises with Christ. And so it's a great day to be baptized. Even the sun is shining. So if that is you, you're more than welcome to join us straight after the service. I have extra towels, so if you didn't bring, don't worry about that. You can come into the water just as you are. This morning I'm going to share around the resurrection and what it means to us. What does the resurrection mean to us? And as I was just meditating upon it, four things came to mind, and there's probably more, but for this morning, I would like to share four things that the resurrection means to us and what it came to establish. And the first of that is that Jesus is truly who he said he was. The first thing that the resurrection proves is that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. And so we can have great faith in Christ because of the resurrection, not just because of what he taught and how he died, but the fact that God raised him from the dead actually signifies, verifies, establishes the fact that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. So this is one of the first things that the resurrection means to us. The second is that Christ defeated death. That's the second thing that the resurrection means to us, that death is defeated. The third thing is that we have hope. Because of his resurrection, because he defeated death, we have hope in eternal life. We have hope to be raised with Christ for eternity, to be with him. And then fourthly, we have purpose. The resurrection not only gives us hope for eternal life, it also gives us purpose. So I want us to explore those four things this morning. Firstly, what is so interesting about Christianity, and I was speaking to somebody a week ago and so, and was just reminded of it again, and I know I've mentioned it before, but it is so powerful in the context of the resurrection that Christianity is not just based on faith. It's based on facts. It's not just faith, it's facts. It's faith in the facts. The fact that God exists. The fact that he sent his son, was born of a virgin. It's a fact that he lived on this earth. It's a fact that he was crucified. It's a fact that he was raised to life. It is a fact that he remained on the earth another 40 days before he ascended to the Father. And it is a fact that he's still alive. It's all facts. And we have faith in the facts that God is true. His Son truly came, truly lived, truly died, truly was resurrected, and truly ascended, and is truly still alive. It's all facts. And so our faith is not just based on faith, it is actually based on facts. As a matter of fact, there was 500 witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. I don't know if you know my mother, her name is Rita. She's about 75 now. She still plays competitive netball. She runs 5 kilometers every second day, sometimes every day. And she still competes in athletics. Apparently, she looks a lot like me. Now, before you choose whether you're going to believe me or not, can I ask you, who of you in this room have met my mother? If you can just, can you do me a favor? Can you just stand if you've met my mother? Please, if you've met my mother before, can you just stand? I want to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. There are 19. There are 19 witnesses to the fact that my mother is real. She looks like me. She runs more than I do. And she plays better netball. But this was 19 people. There were more than 500 that saw Jesus alive after his crucifixion, after the resurrection. More than 500. It's not just faith, people. It's facts. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 8, we read, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after that seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greatest part remain to the present, but some has fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as one born out of due time." The point is, there was many witnesses. And not only were there many witnesses, by the time Paul wrote this letter, most of those witnesses were still alive. And you could go verify it with those witnesses. You could verify the claim that Jesus was raised from the dead. The point is, there was many witnesses. In John 20, verse 29 to 31, Jesus said to him, speaking to Thomas, who did not believe because he did not see, "Thomas, because you have seen, you believe." This is after Thomas had put his hands in the Christ's hands and in his feet and put his hand into his side. And then Thomas said, "Now I believe." And then Jesus said, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. How powerful is that? The point is, the resurrection proves that Jesus is the Son of God and that everything else that He said is also true. That is the faith that we have in Christ. That is what the resurrection means to us. Secondly, we know that the consequence of sin is death, and that death is final. It is one thing that we all share in humanity, the reality that we will all die. And death comes because of the consequence of sin that entered the world through Adam and Eve. And so we as humanity, we face the reality of death and its finality. And we're left with this question, will we ever be able to overcome sin and its consequence? Will humanity ever be able to overcome sin and its consequence? Well, Jesus answered that question. He came as a man, the second Adam, to live, to become sin, and face the consequence of sin, which is death. But He did not remain dead. God raised Him up again, and He is alive. And so we know that yes, sin can be overcome, and so can its consequence. In 1 Corinthians 15, it continues, it says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead, and He has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep," those who are dead. For since by man came death, so by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are in Christ at his coming. You see, Jesus is the first fruits of those who will be raised from the dead. He was the first one. He came to pave a new way for humanity. The first Adam made a way for humanity through sin and death. And then came the second Adam to make a new way for humanity through the resurrection from the dead. And that is Jesus. He's the first fruits, the first one for many to follow. Death is no longer final. It is no longer final for those who believe. We will all be raised for those who are in Christ. And so we read Jesus' words before his resurrection, saying, I am the resurrection and the life. How powerful is that in John 11? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. That brings us to the third point. The resurrection gives us great hope. It gives us great hope. The resurrection gives us hope not just for this life, but for life eternal. But also, not just life eternal, it gives us great hope for an inheritance. Because everything that Jesus said before his death is as true as his resurrection is. And so before he died, he promised us an inheritance with him. Of this inheritance, Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, he says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The living hope that we have is through the resurrection. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, who having not seen you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, it is believing in Christ's resurrection as the Son of God that we are saved. And in believing, we not only have eternal life, we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, kept for us by the power of God. In that we greatly rejoice. In that we greatly rejoice with eternal life and our inheritance ahead of us. We are not discouraged when we suffer in this world, in this life, because we know we are just passing through. And our inheritance is not here. Our reward is not in this world, but it is in the life to come. And so the Word of God encourages us, even though we might suffer various things in this life, not to be grieved, not to be discouraged, but to always rejoice, remembering that our hope and our salvation and our inheritance is in eternal life with God. We are not discouraged by the things that we suffer in this life, because that what we can lose in this life cannot be compared by that what we already have in eternal life. We cannot take what we gather here with us to eternal life. And because we cannot take what we gather here to eternal life, it does not discourage us when we suffer of it in this life. We have a far greater inheritance and riches in the next life that can possibly be gathered in this life. an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. How powerful is that? What the resurrection meant to us. It leads us to greatly rejoice, knowing where we are going and knowing what is waiting for us, an inheritance far greater than what we can gather in this life. Therefore, let us not get distracted by the things in this world. Let us not be distracted by the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, and the persecution that arises because of the word. Remember those three things? It's in the parable of the sower. The three things that prevents the word of God to prepare fruit in us is the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of the world, and persecution that arises because of the word. It's those three things that robs us from these great and precious promises. Three things. But 1 Peter 1 continues, in light of this internal inheritance and that we are simply moving through this life as strangers towards eternal life with God and a great inheritance. 1 Peter 1 continues from verse 13. It says, therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on a father without partiality, judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout your time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, or from your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your father, but you were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that but was manifest in his last time for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man and what it can gather and gain as a flower of the grass withers and its flower fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. What is our response to the resurrection of Christ? Now that we know what it means, what is our response to this great resurrection, this great love and grace that was given us through Jesus Christ? Our response is faith. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in what God says. Faith what was recorded for us so that we can believe. And in faith by grace, we live a holy life in this corrupt world. That is our response. To live in faith by grace a holy life in this corrupt world. And to love one another as He has commanded us. To love one another fervently. That is our response. To live holy, to love one another, and to follow His word. And to follow His word. After all, Christ is the word that became flesh. And so our response to this great salvation, to the resurrection of Christ, is to live holy, is to love one another, and to follow His word. That's 1 Peter 1. And then fourthly, the resurrection, it focuses our purpose. Matthew 28, we know so well, but the context is so interesting. I'm going to read here from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth had been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of age." I wonder what they doubted. I wonder what they doubted. The 11 apostles. They saw Jesus crucified. They heard the testimonies. First it was Mary, then the two other disciples. And they didn't believe. And then Jesus appeared to them, and they doubted. And then Jesus said, "It's not a ghost. Come, put your hands in my hand and in my feet. Touch my flesh. It is I am not a ghost." And then when they still doubted, Jesus said, "Give me some food." And in their presence, he ate fish and honey. And then on many other occasions, Jesus appeared to them again and taught them and spoke to them. And despite all this, some of them still doubted. But despite their doubt, it didn't prevent Jesus from giving them the Great Commission, the final instruction. It says, "All authority in heaven and earth had been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Baptize them and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Oh, and then this promise, "And I will be with you always." I will be with you always. Maybe you are here today and you are not sure if you have enough faith to share this gospel. This gospel of the resurrected Savior of the world. The Son of God, the Messiah that came to save us. Maybe you are not sure if you have enough faith to share this gospel. Well, Jesus is commissioning you. Despite your doubt in your own ability, He is still commissioning you. Even though you might doubt your own ability to share or your own faith, Jesus is still commissioning you today. Go and make disciples. Baptize and teach them. And I am with you always. Maybe you are still doubting your own ability. Well, we know Romans 8 verse 11, so while I don't have it there, sorry, that says, "But the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And you are well able." You are well able. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Maybe you are here today and you do not know where you are going, if you are going to die. Maybe you are here and you don't have absolute certainty that if you were to die, you would meet Jesus and hear those words, "Well done, good faithful servant. You were a faithful over a few. I will make you ruler over much." If you are not sure today, God is speaking to you also. "Today is the day I was raised to new life. You too can be raised to new life. I was the first fruit so that you can follow my way." If that is you today, today is a good day to surrender your life in faith to Jesus. And as you do it, why not be baptized and seal it forever? You can make that decision today, whether you're the first or the second group. You can put your faith in the resurrection of Christ. So there are two responses today. One for salvation, and the second for living the commission. One stepping out in faith to give your life to God, and the other one stepping out in faith to make disciples. And that's it for me for today. And then we have baptism shortly. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you that you've come to give us life. Lord, and that life is in your Son. I want to ask the ushers to hand out communion. Thank you, Lord, that you've come to give this life, not just through your Son's life, but through his death and his resurrection. It's not just the coming of Jesus that saves us. It is the death and the resurrection of Jesus that saves us. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you've given us. Lord, not just life, but an inheritance. For whosoever believes will be saved and join you for eternity. And Lord, so we thank you for this opportunity to celebrate this day with the rest of Christianity all over the world, Lord. We celebrate this greatest day in history, the day that you overcame sin and death and made a way when the veil was torn and we could enter into your presence knowing for sure that this is real. It's not just an earthquake. It is real. You are alive. And so, God, I thank you, Lord, that you have not just given us great salvation, great hope, but you have given us an inheritance, and with that great purpose, that we can live our lives not for this life, but that we can live our lives for the life to come. Oh, Lord, I pray that you will grant us the faith to have faith in you. And so if you're here this morning and you want to surrender your life to be sure that it's not just Jesus but you that will stand in eternity before God, while all the eyes are closed, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to the Word of God. And if you want to surrender your life to God, you can just simply raise your hand and say, God, here I am. I want to put my faith in this Jesus that was raised to new life so that I may have it too. If that is you, just raise your hand, just where you're at. I'm going to give you an opportunity. This is the best day to do it. It's Resurrection Day. Is there anybody? Thank you for that hand. Is there anybody else? There's another hand. Is there anybody else? This is the greatest day in history. This is the greatest day. Is there anyone else? God, I want to thank you for these two hands. You can drop it again. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Father, I thank you for these two souls. It is the purpose for which you came, is to see the lost saved, to be reunited, reconciled with those you love so much that you were willing to give everything so that they can be saved, so that together we can be saved, together be raised up when you return to that great and final supper and feast that celebrates but ushers in the rest of eternity, a wedding meal with you. And God, so I thank you for these two hands. Lord, I want to encourage you to respond also this afternoon as we go and baptize. Join us. Seal your faith today as you surrender and unite yourself with Christ, with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then while the eyes are still closed, there is another altar call, and that is for those who need to respond to God's commission, who are calling you to share the gospel. Maybe you have not certainty. Maybe you are not sure that you have what it takes to share the gospel, to make disciples. God is calling you today. If that is you, just raise your hand. Just respond to him. Yes, God, I hear your word today as you call me to lay aside my fear and my doubt. God, I cannot put my fingers in your side, but I can put my faith in Jesus. And if that is you, just raise your hand. And I want to ask you as you do that, thank you for those hands. Let's all just stand. Let's all just stand. If you've raised your hand, we would like to pray with you, whether it's for salvation or the response to the call to be a messenger, to share the gospel. And we are all called to do that. But if you're afraid to do that and you want to respond today in faith, God will empower you today to do just that. That's why we share the gospel, and that's the word for you today. So if that is you, as we're going to sing a final song, I want to ask those who responded, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for those who gave their life and for those who are becoming a messenger, that God will empower you to do so. And He does both with something very powerful, very significant that we will preach on again some other time. We've done it so many times. He's going to empower you with the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will empower your mortal body, not just to eternal life, but you will receive power to be witnesses. To be witnesses. So if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, if you are responding to that call to be a witness, or you've surrendered your life, I want to invite you to come forward, and we're going to partake of communion as soon as we finish singing. So let the ushers finish their work. Let's just continue to sing as we ask those who responded to come forward. Help us, please, the facilitators, just to pray. Receive a cup? Did we miss anybody with the cup? Everybody have bread? Anybody missed with bread? Let's pray together. Wait for one another and then we'll eat together. Father, we want to thank you for this day. This greatest day in history. When you not only gave your son, but you proved to us and the rest of the world, humanity and eternity, that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, the Messiah that came to save, the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world, that His body was sacrificed to satisfy your righteousness completely. And we thank you for this, God. We remember and we choose to believe as we eat this flesh in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's eat together. God, thank you for this cup that symbolizes your blood that was shed for us. The blood that washes, that seals, and makes us new. God, I thank you, Lord, that because of our faith in Jesus, God, we have eternal life with you. And as we partake of Him, drink, eat His flesh, and drink His blood, we have part of you. God, thank you that we become one with you. Lord, I pray that you will continually change us to become more and more like you, so that the world may see you through us. And Lord, give us the boldness, Lord, and the willingness and the faith by your grace and your spirit, Lord, to communicate, to share, to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the Son of God. He is alive. He's seated at the right hand of God. And whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you for this as we drink together in Jesus' name. I want to send you this morning with Jesus' final words after His resurrection. And think about this. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth had been given to me. Therefore, go in my name and make disciples. Go in my authority. I'm the one who sent you. In all authority in heaven and earth, go and make disciples, baptize them and teach them everything that I have commanded you. And I am with you always till the time I come back to bring you to myself forever.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.